I just thought about it as the worship team was leaving. You know what? I should have came out with some Rocky American flag boxing shorts. What do you guys think? I had the theme song. You know, I could. It's Memorial Day. I could have came out with some, you know. I'm glad I didn't, though. I think you guys are especially glad I didn't, too. You know, as I was working on the message, I was kind of putting my outline together. Wednesday and Thursday, I kind of write my outline, and I'd realize, you know what, I haven't told you guys how much I really love you guys and I love the church. Now, some of you are sitting here going, well, you don't even know me, you know, I'm not even a Christian, I don't even believe, you know, but I love Salida, and I love the people that come through the doors, and I want to be a part of their lives, and it's something that God has allowed me to do and allowed me to be a part of that, and because this really is my family. This, you know, I was sitting there thinking the other day, I have been here coming up on 35 years. I've been here longer than I stayed in the home with my mom and dad. I was 21 years old when I left the home. You know, I've been here longer than I stayed in the house I grew up in, you know. And this is just my home, and this is my family. You know, these are the people that I've done life with, and I desire to do life with, and you guys matter to me, and I do. I love and I pray for you guys. You know, just so you know, don't change seats. You need to kind of sit in your same seat so that it kind of, but if we have guests, give them the seat, okay? Don't say, well, that's my seat. I got to have that. No, don't do that. You know, but kind of stay in the same general area. It kind of helps me out on my prayers. And I do because you guys matter to me, you know, and the Bible commands it. You know, it says, love everybody. You know, that's what Jesus was asked. You know, some lawyer came to Jesus and the guy goes, Jesus, what's the most important thing? What at all these things? You know, God gave 10 commandments through Moses, and well, they didn't quite have enough, so some of the Jewish leaders got together and kind of spelled out, how do you do those 10 with 613, you know? 10's not enough, so let's get 613. We can't keep 10. Let's see if we can do 613, you know? And so finally some lawyer guy comes up to Jesus and says, hey, Jesus, what's important? You know, we got all these rules. We got all these laws, and Jesus boils down to number two, he says, is love others as much as you love yourself. You know, and you know, for me, I'm going to tell you, God doesn't have to command that for me. You know, I love people. I'm an extrovert. I love being around people, and I do enjoy and love people, and I love you guys, and I do pray for you, and you're important to me. But as I was looking at the message this morning, because the message really dwells on this one that God said was most important. When the lawyer asked Jesus what was the most important, Jesus said, number one, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. That is the first commandment. It's there right there in your outline. You can get it out. You can kind of follow along right there. And I had that memorized because to me it's an important one, that God wants us to love him, that God wants us to have a relationship with him. And that's what I want us to think about this morning, that God wants a relationship with each one of us. There's not a person sitting here that God is not saying, I want to be a part of your life, and I want you to be a part of my plan. I want you to be a part of what I want to do. And God has said that. He wants to be that friend. He's the maker, the creator, the redeemer. He's the former of life. He's the master. He's God, and he wants a relationship with us. You know, and yeah, I was thinking about that because, you know, I grew up in a time when everything God. You know, it's not quite like that. Now, I remember when I was growing up in the 60s and stuff, I never doubted there was a God. I always knew there was a God. I always believed there was a God. I always believed the Bible was God's word. Never had a question about that. But what I realized in this message this morning, I want us to think about, that's one thing to have an acquaintance with God and to know God. And that God wants us to know him. He's revealed himself. He's revealed himself through his scriptures. He revealed himself through Jesus Christ. God has made himself known, and he wants us to know him. I like what it says here in James 4:8. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. That God wants to live in a close relationship with you. That God wants to be a part of your life. And he wants you to be a part of what he's doing and what he's about to do, and the things that he cares about, that you care about. And I want you to see that in this message this morning. And all the way back to the garden. I like the picture it paints here. Look at Genesis 1:28. It says this. And God blessed them. Now them is, anybody got an idea? Adam and, all right. So God blessed Adam and Eve. God's in a relationship with Adam and Eve. And he reaches down and he blesses them. And he goes like this. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it. and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. God says, I want this relationship with you. I want to be in a relationship with you. And I want to walk with you and be in your midst and you to be in my midst. And so he creates this big, beautiful world, and he places Adam and Eve in the garden. He gives them one thing not to do. You know, I always love this. God just says one thing. Don't do this one thing. Anybody know what happened? Anybody have a baby? Anybody have a child? Now, this is years ago. I can't identify with this. But I had, you know, we had TVs that had knobs on them. Anybody remember those? And you had a child. And what did the child go do? They want to turn those knobs. You know? I can remember when we had, you only had three channels. And then UHF came in, you know, and turn, you know, don't touch the TV. You know, because you got to, you know, got to tune that thing in a little bit. Remember that? Come on, you make me feel old. You know, you got to tune the static out a little bit, you know, and then the kid would go up there. Can't even do one thing right. Well, that was happening in the garden. They couldn't even do one thing right. Just don't mess with this tree over here. Everything else is yours. You ever do that with a child? What do they go right? It's the first thing they go for. What you told them not to do. Well, they did. It's called sin. And they sinned. And that sin broke that relationship with God. You ever had a friend that did something to kind of make it stressful in your relationship? That best friend, that good friend, and they did something, and it, you know, trust has kind of gone down. Maybe there was gossip. Maybe somebody did something, and that's what happened in this relationship. Sin, I love that VBS song from a year ago. Sin messed everything. Anybody remember that song? You guys are no help. You know? Sin messed everything. I enjoyed that song tremendously. Maybe because I know what it did to me. It messed me up, all right? You know, it messed my life up, and sin messed everything up. You know, and as you read the scriptures, it's real interesting to read the Old Testament. Just so you know, 39 books. If you're in Awana, they know that. 39 books in the Old Testament. You read through that, you don't find very much friendship with God in the Old Testament. Matter of fact, as you read the Old Testament, there's a lot of fear and a lot of guilt in the Old Testament. Now you'll find Abraham was, and you'll find Moses, and you can find David, and Job was a friend of God, and that's the kind of friend God wants. I don't want to be Job's, you know, that's not a good one to me. But Job was a friend of God, you know, and you go through and you see these, but that's about it in the Old Testament. There's not a lot of friends with God. But when Jesus steps into the world, when Jesus steps into the midst of all that God created, born of that and lived his life, it changed everything. It brought back that relationship. Listen to what it says. You got to highlight some of this verse right here. Romans 5, 10 through 11. For since our friendship with God, since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son while we were still enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. Do you see yourself as a friend of God? That Jesus Christ stepped into the midst of this world and entered this world, came that restoring point. That you don't earn that friendship with God. You don't deserve that friendship with God. You don't buy that friendship with God. You don't bargain for that friendship with God. You don't even have to beg for that friendship with God. That it's by grace that God wants to be our friends. That God wants to step into our life. And that God wants to be part of your life. Again, look at what it says here in John. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant knows what the master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. He's made it known. That friendship word is best friend. It's an intimate friendship. It's like the guy in the wedding who stands next to you as your best friend, as your best man. There's a different relationship. There's something special about that relationship. It's that close, intimate relationship with God. And that's what God wants. He wants a relationship. Because look at what it says here in Hosea. I don't want your sacrifices. See, I want to tell you something. They got really religious. All right? They got really religious with their sacrifices. They had the sheep and the goats, and they had the wafering, and they had all these offerings. They had all these, you know, a sin sacrifice and a day of atonement. They had all these things set up for religion. And they were seeking a religion. But this is what God says. I don't want your sacrifices. I want your love. What's God saying? I don't want that religion stuff. I want a relationship. Isn't that what God is saying? Isn't that what love is? Is love a relationship? And God's wanting this relationship. I don't want your offerings. I want you to know me. So I'm going to ask you to do two things right here real quick. I want you to circle. I'll get it out. I want you to circle the word love. And I want you to circle the word know me. Because here, that's what I want you to know. That's what God wants. God wants you to love him and know him. And my prayer for this message this morning has been this, that when you walk out this door, you will know God better and love God more. That's what I'm hoping for with this message this morning. That relationship you have with God, that time and that intimate time you have with God will draw you closer to him, that you will know him and that you will love him. I like the way the Message Bible put this phrase here in Acts. Listen to how he says this. Starting scratch, he, that is God, made the entire human race and made the earth hospitable with plenty of time and space for living so we could seek after God and not just grope around in the dark, that actually find him. He doesn't play hide and seek with us. He's not remote. He's near. I read that and I look at our world today and I see people groping around darkness trying to find meaning in life. Groping around in darkness trying to find purpose. Trying to find something that gives more to life than just, hey, I lived. You know, that 15 minutes of fame. You know, whatever it is that they're seeking these things and groping around. I was just wondering, do you ever feel like you're groping around in darkness in life? You ever just kind of, what's going on with life? You know, this week it's fun for me. I always say I enjoy life. Okay, that's just my personality. You know, good, bad, indifferent. It's just another day. Okay, here we go. You know, well, this week I was driving down Palindale and I was kind of whining. Anybody been in a whining mood with God? You know, it's just like, God, it's not working right. Things aren't good. It's not going the way I want. You know, I feel like a failure. Anybody ever feel like a failure? You know, you feel like life is just not coming together. You know, it's not what you expected to happen. If you know, I'm 63 now. I'm getting near, you know, I don't want to say near the end. Is it that, I'm going to live to 105. Is that okay? You know, and you know, but I'm driving down Palindale just kind of, you know, God, I don't get it. You know, I just, you know. But then I turn on Prescott. And I go, you know what? I am so blessed. Anybody get this paradox in your life? You know, you whine 1 minute, and then you step back, and it's like, you know what? I'm driving around in a car that's got gas in it. Okay, that's pretty good, right? You know, I got a home almost paid for. You know, I got a church that I love with people that I enjoy. You know, I'm going to have a good lunch. I'm going to come back because there's going to be donuts and stuff here on Thursday morning, you know, and so I'm blessed. Anybody ever feel that way? You know, you look at life and you're frustrated over here and it's just life's not working and it's just not going the way you want and then you just turn the corner and all of a sudden it's just like, you know, I really am blessed. Anybody ever feel like that? You know, and see, God has created this big, beautiful world for this. This paradox in our life, this schizophrenia, I guess. Can I say that? I don't know what it's, you know. Maybe I'm just weird. I don't know. But it's life. And You know, but then I turn the corner and you realize, you know, God is good. You know, God is awesome. And that's kind of what he's given this big, beautiful. As I read that passage, it just made me think about that. That God created this beautiful world and we're here to enjoy it and we're here to encounter God, you know. And maybe this morning, and maybe that's kind of what my prayers have been, that maybe this morning you're going to turn a corner and meet some way this morning. You know? Maybe some way it's going to remind you that God is good. Maybe you came in this morning and maybe it's like me. Maybe you were just kind of whining this morning. You know, nothing's kind of working out. You know, nothing's kind of going well this day. You know, I had a bad week and I dread this next week, you know. And it's just, I don't know about you, this next week's going to be a mess. I got graduations for high school and I got graduations for the middle school and I got parties to go to. Anybody, I mean, you know, it's just, I dread next week. But I'm hoping this morning you're going to come, and I really do. I pray that it kind of turns a corner this morning. That something just kind of brings you around. It's like, hey, there's you come face to face with God. And that you encounter God this morning. That you don't have to grope around in darkness and kind of wonder what God is up to and where God. Because you're going to love him more and know him better. But for that to happen, you have to work at it. Have to endeavor to make it. You know, we all have friends, and some of us have best friends, right? Anybody got best friend? Anybody got a best friend? You know, and you got your best friends, but for that friend to be your best friend, does that just happen? Is it just, well, they just dropped into my life and they're my best friend? Or does it take a little bit of effort? Does it take a little bit on your part to make that best friend? Well, that's what I want to talk this morning, that God wants to be your best friend, but it takes a little bit of effort on yours. It's a free gift. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. You can't buy it. You can't beg for it. God wants to give it to you. But you got to receive it. There's a role that we play. And so I just got five things I want to just kind of go through real quick. To kind of say, listen, I want to walk with God. I want to turn that corner this morning. And just say, I'm blessed. And so if you got your outline out, fill in some blanks here. The first one goes like this. Make knowing God your number one priority. You need to make God a priority in your life. Let me tell you this. God will never be your best friend in your spare time. All right? You can't just give God the leftovers and things to work out. But if you want a relationship with God and you want to feel God and you want to know God and love God, you're going to have to make that a priority in your life. Let me kind of paint a picture for you. Maybe you can kind of visualize this. And, you know, you look back years ago, you'd get up in the morning, you'd walk into the kitchen, grab you a cup of coffee, go get the newspaper, you sit down at the table, drink your coffee, read the news. Anybody see those pictures of those days? You know, go to the donut store, get you some chocolate milk, some donuts, and you get the newspaper out. You know, and you read the newspaper. You know? But we're kind of in what is it, the 21st century? Is that what we're at? I'm trying to remember. You know? And now, you know, the first thing we do, we get up in the morning, and what do we grab? Anybody? Anybody? You know what? You know, you get your phone and do I have any text messages? Do I have any emails? See, I got it right here. That's text messages, and that one's emails. Now, how about? Oh, I got to turn to the next page. There's one that called Facebook. Anybody got that one on your phone? Did I get any Facebooks? You know, I posted that picture last night. Did I get any likes? You know, right before I went to bed. Got to check my tweets, you know. Instagram, Snapchat. You know. How many of us, the first thing we grab in the morning is our phone? Anybody? You know. My phone sits next to my bed. You know, I pastor, and I tell you, I love people. You know, I get calls all the time, middle of the night. Somebody's in the hospital. Something happened. I go. I love being there. I love serving. I love ministering. It's what I want to do. And my phone sits next to my bed. So I can hear it. Used to leave it in the living room, but then all of a sudden I have emergency. It's like, no, I got to have my phone next. You know? And I do. I grab my phone in the morning. you know, and I look at the homepage because my first thing I want to look at, okay, it's going to be 59 right now and it's going to be 88. Okay, what shirt do I wear? Long sleeve, short sleeve? Come on, anybody? You know, you got to get dressed. So you got to know what clothes to put on, you know, so I want to look at the temperature. Yeah. Here's what I want to challenge you with. There's a little program called the YouVersion Bible. Some of you, we had a whole thing on that. It's really neat because you can program this thing so you have devotionals and you push a button and up it comes. And I just finished one this morning. I try to make it a habit. Anybody try to make it a habit? I've done really good. What's scary about this program is it tells you when you don't do so well. I was going to look. Where is it at here? Let's go home. I get images. Some of you guys send me images too. I like that. I've had my streak of daily Bible verse reading is 87 days is the longest streak I've had. All right. 9 straight weeks I've been able to go. This week, I miss Friday. Fridays are hard for me. I don't know about you guys. So I got to start all over again. You know, but I had an 87 streak. I like that. You know what? Just spend some time, you know, instead of grabbing the newspaper, instead of checking your Facebook, checking, emails. I check all that stuff. Get a little Bible app. You know, there's all sorts of devotionals on it. You know, we had the whole class. I remember I did the whole thing on it one Sunday. It's called YouVersion Bible. You know, you pick a devotional, 5 minutes a day at the most. You know, read your Bible, spend some time. You know, you want God to speak to you? I'm going to give you a little hint here. You can talk to God in prayer, but you want God to speak to you? It's called God. And so you read his word. You know, you speak to him in prayer. He speaks to you through the word. Now, years ago, I used to read the Bible, and I used to challenge people, read the Bible in a year. Now, I've done that. I know some of you have done that. Some of you are doing that. You know what I'm doing right now? I'm just reading it till I find something I like. Or, well, I shouldn't say I like, because I like it all. Wait a minute. How can I say that? I find something that speaks to me. I'll be honest with you. Some days, I've read one verse. Some days, I've read 3 chapters. It just depends on where God is and what God wants to say to me. And so I just want to encourage you. You need to make it a priority in your life. You know, when's the last time you read God's word? You know, it's amazing that the Bible is still the number one selling book in the world. Still. Every year. Number one top seller. I don't get that. I have probably 2 dozen in my house, and my wife bought 2 more this couple of weeks ago. I don't know what I'm going to do with them. Somebody text me. You know, so let me get back going here. Isn't it fun? But you got to spend time in God's word. All right, am I making sense? You want to walk with God? You want a relationship with God? Spend some time. And I like the Bible app. I'm serious. I like the Bible app. I mean, everybody's got Bibles in their homes. You might have 2 or 3 probably laying around the house. If you're like me, probably 2 or 3 of those laying around the house have an inch of dust on top. Anybody else got ones like that? You know, I got my grandma's Bible. I got my grandfather's Bible. I've been blessed with those kind of things. I want to hang on to those. But we need to have a Bible we're reading. Will you read God? What it says? Everything else is worthless compared to the priceless gain of knowing Christ Jesus. I discarded everything else, counting it all garbage, so that I may know Christ. I want to say, how important is knowing Christ to you? How important is that loving God to you? When you come looking for me, you will find me. Yes, when you get serious. Why don't you circle that word serious? About finding me and want me more than anything else. Are you taking your relationship with Christ seriously? I think that's something to think about. You know, I can't blame anybody, because I'm going to tell you this. You're as close to God as you choose to be. You can't blame your spouse, your boyfriend, your girlfriend. You can't blame your job. You can't blame school. You can't blame anybody. You're as close to God as you choose to be. There's only one person you can blame. And so I want to challenge you this morning. You want to kind of turn the corner? God, it's bad, it's whining, you know, and I'm in that too. Turn the corner by making it a priority. Second thing I put down here is this. Slow down and be quiet. When I first wrote this, I wrote it this way. Sit down and shut up. But I didn't think I should say it that way, all right? But slow down and be quiet. We live in a fast-paced world. I don't know about you, but I think your schedule is as busy as my schedule. Anybody? There's always something going on, someplace to be, somewhere to go, something happening in life that we're just going. It was kind of fun. Laura and I, it's kind of like we got to kind of relax yesterday, but there's a lot of things to do. And it's like, okay, we're going to kind of take it easy. We got several things we need to do. We're going to take it easy. And so we leave in the morning to go take it easy. And it's only supposed to be about an hour, hour and a half. So we left at 9, got home at 12:30. That wasn't an hour and a half. You know? I wanted a day to sleep in. Anybody want a day to sleep in? You know? I wanted a day just to relax. No, you got to mow the yard. We're going to barbecue in the afternoon. We're going to go recycle. We're going a Saturday. We need to have a time to slow down and be quiet. You know what I found the best time for me to slow down? I'm going to be honest with you. Here's the best time for me to slow down. Go for a walk. I'm serious. I talk to God more when I walk than any other time. Just take a walk. You know, if I want a short walk, I can talk to God short. I want a long walk. I've shared with you, I had a situation one time. I've been praying and asking God what to do. And I take off on my walk because I got to solve this. Walk 45 minutes talking to God. Get it all worked out. Okay, God, I can do this. We can do this. This is how to work, God. God and I get it all worked out. 45-minute walk. Go to turn. Again, you know when you turn those corners, it really messes you up. You know, I go to turn the corner to go into my neighborhood, and God says, okay, now we're not going to do anything. Then why did we have this talk? You know, I thought we had it all figured out, God. Now God says, you know, just keep your mouth shut and don't worry about it. Okay. You know, why did we spend 45 minutes? Slow down. Be quiet, Gary. Let's work this out. I got this. Look, it says, be still and know that I am God. Psalms 46:10. See, for me, just kind of walking around, being there with God, and just a daily time with God, just spending that time with him. You know, if you got your friend, do you call him? You know, your best friend, how often do you talk to him? I never talk to him. Because I don't have any best friends, right? You know, we all, you know, you want a best friend, you're going to spend some time with them, right? You're going to call them, you're going to talk to them, you're going to be around, they're going to be around. It's part of what you do. Look at what it says here in Psalms 25:14. Friendship with God is reserved for those who reverence him. Basically, it's saying who spend time with him, who are there with him in worship. With them alone, he shares the secrets of his promises. See, I think a lot of people have an acquaintance with God. You know, they're kind of like I was. I got across that invisible line. You know, I knew God, always knew there was a God, never doubted there was a God. There's God. I mean, he's God. You know, I was acquainted with God. But now to know him and love him, you have to be serious about it. You're going to have to slow down and take some time and spend some time with him. Let me give you a little hint here. If all you do is what you do with God Sunday morning, you're not going to have a relationship with God. All right? If all you do is meet God on Sunday morning for an hour, or with me an hour and a half because I preach so long, you know, it's not going to be enough. You're going to have to spend some more time and quality time with God. Listen to what it says. And when you come before God, don't turn that into a theatrical production. Don't you like that? Don't make a show. You know, there's some people who pray well. You've been around those people who just seem to have that voice that prays to Heavenly Father. You know, and some people can pray really well, and you're sitting there going, I don't know what to pray half the time. Anybody been that one? You know, and I can't figure this out, you know. And he's saying, listen, it's not a show. It's not a theatrical show. All these people making a regular show out of their prayers, hoping for stardom. Because, you know, they would sit on the corners. You know, the Jews would sit on the corners and make a show of it. And, oh, Lord, you know. And, That's not what God wants, a stardom. Do you think God sits in a box seat? I like this. I like the way they word this. You think God's sitting in the box seat? You know, you're at the Warriors game, sitting in the box seat, sitting there with all the food there. You know, God's sitting there. Hey, look at him down there praying. Hey, isn't that wonderful? I don't think God's that way. You know, I love the way this passage worded this. Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense his grace. You ever do that? You ever go to a place, and you're kind of sitting there and praying, and you're talking to God, and all of a sudden it feels like, you know, God's right here. That's what he's talking about. That you find this place, and it's just like, God's right here. I can remember going to certain places where I'm sitting there and I'm praying. All of a sudden, it feels like God is right there. I'm parked underneath the Golden Gate Bridge. I'm sitting there. You know, I found this nice, secluded place and supposed to spend an hour there working on my doctorate, and we had to spend an hour there. And I'm sitting there and I'm reading Genesis chapter 1, and I'm looking out underneath the Golden Gate Bridge, and I'm thinking about creation and thinking about the animals. As I read, I'm going, hey, look at all the animals and the birds flying and all of that. And as I'm sitting there, that place becomes significant because it was just like, God's right here. I mean, his hand, he formed these mountains in that, sticking right out of the side of the rocks, you know, and it's just, but you got to find that place. It doesn't happen. You got to find that quiet place, that slow down, so God can speak to you. And so maybe if I need to say it this way, sit down and shut up, I'm going to say it. But find that time when you can spend some time with God. All right? How about number three? Decide whose friendship you want most. Whose friendship do you want most? How many best friends can you have? Don't raise your hand. Don't give me a nap. I want you to think about that. Really, seriously. How many best friends can you really have? If you get one, you're lucky today. Am I right? You know, to have one best friend, it takes work to get one best friend. It takes effort to get one best friend. And you got to decide, is my friendship with Jesus what I want most? Do I really want this friendship? I can't be friends with everybody. There's not enough time. I don't have enough energy to be friends with everybody. And so I've got to decide, who am I going to be friends with? Here's what Timothy 6:21. Some of these people have missed the most important thing in life. They don't know God. So you've got to decide, do I really want this friendship? Now, right now, there's a basketball game. Well, it's not played right now. It was played last night. Right, anybody? Warriors, right? Pulled it out. You know, they pulled it out, and they made it through, and now there's game 7. Now, some of you could probably name all the players on the team. I got one. All right. Curry is his name, I think. That's the one I know. All right. Some of you can name Giants players, right? You guys, there's many of you who are Giants fans. You can name some Giants players. Yeah. I don't know any Giants players, all right? I'm not a Giants fan. I'm a Dodger fan, but just to be honest with you, I don't know any Dodgers either, all right? Yeah. That's why they call me a fan. I don't know anything. And I just want to aggravate. If you're a Giants fan, I want to aggravate you. That's why I'm a Dodger fan, okay? Yeah. But see, we can name the players. You can name the scores. You can name the statistics. People can name all these kinds of things, and, you know, stock market and quotes. But what about naming God? What about knowing God? Can we miss God by the stuff of this world? Now, I'm going to tell you, there's nothing wrong. Just so you know, I am rooting for the Warriors. The sad thing is, I'm a Lakers fan. I don't know why. I don't know why I root for the Lakers. I don't know why I the Dodgers. I don't know why I root for the Cowboys. I don't get it, but you know, I still can't tell you who's playing on what teams. I know a little more about the Cowboys. But what I want to know is God. That's what I want to know. I got to a point and I realized I'm getting old and I'm afraid I'm going to lose my mind. Anybody that way? I'm serious. So I've started memorizing things. Don't lose my mind. It's like, okay, I can name the 12 disciples. I can name the books of the Old Testament. I can name the books of the New Testament. I can name, because I'm afraid I'm going to lose my mind. You know, it's like I'm going to get old and I won't remember anything. You know? But number one thing is I want to know God. Do you know him by name? Can you name God as your best friend? And I just want to challenge you there. Look at what it says here in God's word. So you're not loyal to God. You should know that loving the world is the same as hating God. Anyone who wants to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. That's kind of, you know, as I read that, I was going, well, I know John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And now he says you got to hate the world. Well, I have to hate the world, but God gets to love the world. You know, no, he's using world two different ways. James is one way, and John is using it another way. John is saying God loves people. He loves you. He loves me. He loves everyone. That's God. And here James is talking about the world, the values of the world. God loves the world. He loves the people, but he doesn't love the values of this world. And I think the problem is we've kind of flip-flopped that. You know, we love the values of the world, and we hate people. Road rage. Anybody see road rage? You know, get aggravated with somebody. Anybody ever get aggravated with somebody? You're in line. You know, it bugs me. I don't know. I even get mad at my wife. Can you get mad at your wife? You know? It's like I go get gas in the morning. You know, I got my credit card. You know what I do? I'm sitting at the stoplight getting my credit card out. So when I get out, I'm ready. You know, you ever go to the store and somebody pulling pennies out and you're sitting there, come on, I want to go. Anybody besides, you know, see, I value my time. I got things to do. And she's, why don't you get your money counted? Why don't you have your purse open? You know, you got to write a check. Okay, it's time to write the check. They got it all rung up, you know. See, God sitting there saying, listen, we got to love people. You know, just because they're not like me doesn't make them bad. You know, I'm not that good either. You ever honk at somebody at one stop sign and you come to the next one and you do the same thing they did and you feel stupid? You know? It's life, and we need to see that. You know, we do. Here's my question. Do you want what God wants most? You know, with your best friend, whatever your best friend values, you value. Is that kind of true? Your best friend, what are you going to do? Well, I hate that. I don't like that. Your best friend says, I don't like that. You're going to go, I don't like that either. Right? That's how it works most of the time. Well, with God, we should have that same attitude with God. God, whatever he values, we should value. It should be more important and most important to us. Let's go on. Next one. Maintain a constant conversation with God. You know, there are some religions, and I hope you know that I make a distinction between religion and relationship. You know, there's a lot of religious activity that God wants a relationship, and that's what we're talking about this morning. But some have these religious that you've got to pray five times a day. You pray five times a day. Here's the schedule. Doing, doing, doing. You've got to make sure you're praying during these days. What's nice about God, you can pray anytime you want. You can pray as long as you want or as short as you want. You can pray anywhere you're at. You can face the moon or you can face the sun. That doesn't matter to God. You can just pray 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. You can pray. See, we need that opportunity. We need to talk with God constantly. Here's a verse. It says, pray all the time. I memorize that. This is an easy verse to remember. Three words. I'll give you three words. Then you can always memorize a verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, three words. This one has four, but I can give you three. Pray without ceasing. Without's one word, okay? Pray without ceasing. A constant attitude of prayer. Like I say, when I drive, I'm praying that I don't go crazy. And I'm driving down the road talking with God. God, you know, and it's like, oh, I'm so... Then I turn the corner. I'm praying all the time. Let me give you a little hint. You don't have to close your eyes, especially when you're driving, okay? You don't have to close your eyes, fold your hands, and say amen to pray. You know? Just so you know, I don't want to say amen because that turns the conversation off. I want God to always be there. God, I'm not saying amen because I need you in the next minute. And we need to see that in our life. We need to be in a constant contact with God, not just five times. It means something we do, something we're a part, something that God moves in our midst with. And we need to pray always. And it's not these fancy, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. That's a nice prayer to pray. But what God wants is our heart. There's times I don't know what to pray. I've been in that situation. You know, life sucks sometimes, and it's like, God, I'm lost. I'm hurting. I'm done. I'm toast. God, okay, that's it. Anybody been there like that? Did God hear that prayer? Would God hear that prayer? Because he knows what's on my heart. He knows what's in my mind. See, we need to see that in our lives. And don't worry about, well, I didn't say it right, and I don't say it right. You know, somebody comes up here and leads in prayer, and some do great, and some don't. I remember some coming, you know, because I tried to get people to lead in prayer, and Ernie was doing a great job. And I told him, write it down. Afraid to pray in public, write it down. Can you read a prayer? Let me give you a little hint. I get to pray this year again at eighth grade graduation here at Salida Middle School. I get to do the prayer. Guess what I'm going to have in my hand when I get up to do the prayer? An outline of my prayer. All right? Now, most of the time, I mess up and get off track, but I got an outline to help me. Okay, here's the things I want in my prayer. I've only done the prayer at graduation now for about 20 years. I should have it down by now, shouldn't I? But I'm still going to take me an outline. And I'm going to go pray. It's okay to write your prayer. What I want you to know. You know, if you're having a bad day at work, write it down. Bad day at work. When you go home, oh God, I had a bad day at work. You know, God's going to go, I know, I was there with you. Sorry. You know, do we see? I want to make sure you guys get this. See, my determined purpose. Let's read God's word. My determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of this person more strongly and more clearly. Do you get the picture? Closer to God, walking with God, love him more dearly, know him better. Let's get to the last point. Trust God in your pain. You know, when you got a best friend, it hurts. You know, do you tell your best friend when you're hurting, you call your best friend and say, man, I've really, you know, I've got some pains, maybe physical, maybe emotional, maybe stress. God, I'm hurting right now. Well, you need to do that with God. You need to take that with God. God cares about your pains, your hurts, your wounds, the anxiety, the depression, the worries, the frustration. God cares all about those things in our lives. He cares about that. God cares for us. Listen to what it says. Cast yours on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. I circle the word cast and I put the word dump. Dump it all on God. I'm going to tell you, he's big enough to take it. Cast all your cares on him. Let God take it. God can use. See, I'm going to tell you, sometimes God uses those things in your life, you know, some of those bad things in your life, to make you closer to him. I'm going to tell you, when do you pray the most? When life is easy or when you got trouble? You think God can use those troubles to draw us closer? Hurt those wounds to pull us closer to him? Because that's what God wants. He wants that relationship with him. God wants us to live in him. Cast all your cares. I got two things I want to end with because I think most of us are in one of two places. I really believe this. Most of us are in one of two places. The first one I put down here is this. We're in trouble. There's some of us who are in trouble. Maybe it's physical trouble, you know, something going on health-wise. Maybe it's emotional trouble, you know, stress, anxiety, depression. There's some difficult things going on, and emotionally there's some things going on. There's some spiritual things going on. Maybe there's a spiritual battle going on. Maybe there's a relational struggle going on. Right now, for me, my dad has passed away. My sister is the executor. We're dealing with all this. Fortunately, my sister and I are really on board together right now, and I keep praying about that. And so, you know, we all have these situations in our life, and we're all walking through this kind of trouble. But God cares. Look what it says. If you hold on to for dear life, says God, I'll get you out of any trouble. I'll give you the best of care if you only get to know and trust me. God's sitting there saying, listen, if you're in trouble, I want to be there. But there's a condition. There's a condition for me to be there. You got to know me. You got to know and love me more. See, God wants to be a part of your life. But it comes back to our choice. I don't know what's going on in your life this morning, but I want you to think about that. Yeah. Are you in the midst of trouble? Physical, emotional, spiritual, relational. I don't know what it may be. Are you going through life and there's some trouble right now? And it's just uneasy in your heart and uneasy in life. God is sitting there saying, listen, just if you come to me, I'll get with you. And I'll give you the best care if you come to me. The second one I put down here is this. You have drifted away from God. There's some that's just kind of drifted away from God. You haven't ran away from God. You know, you haven't turned your back on God. You know, you always believed there was a God. Matter of fact, you maybe even crossed that invisible line and God is real to you and you're following him, but you're just kind of drifting along. Maybe you were raised with parents who were really committed to God and followed God and set a good example for you, that you're just kind of drifting right now. Or maybe you know, like for me, it was grandparents that loved God and that modeled that relationship with God and that were there in that attuned with God and they set that example. And right now you're looking back going, you know, I'm just not there right now. Maybe you just kind of slipped away. You know, it's just, you know, last week or last year you were closer to God, and this year you've just kind of drifted along and just kind of let things go. You know, it's just kind of like, yeah, I know there's God. Yeah, you know, I'm busy with life. You know, I just got a lot of things going on and just a lot of stress, a lot of things happening in my life. And you just kind of drifted away from God. You haven't turned your back on God. You know, you're not denying God. It's just, you're drifting. You know, you're just kind of going along with the flow. And again, look at what it says in God's word. This is how the Lord responds. If you return to me, I will restore you so you can continue to serve me. If you speak good words rather than worthless ones, you will be my spokesman. You must influence. Do not let them influence you. If you return to me, I will restore you. God's saying you got to come. See, this is condition. And so like I said when I started this message, here was my hope this morning. That, you know, sometimes in life, we're just going down Palindale. And life is just drifting along. Or maybe there's just trouble. Things aren't just right physically, emotionally, spiritually, I don't know, relationally, and you're just kind of going down the road and you're just drifting along. Or maybe you're in trouble. So what I wanted this morning was, I wanted you to walk out the doors knowing God better and loving him more. That was my prayer this morning, that as we walk through this, that we just know God better and love him more. I wanted to close with this scripture right here. The greatest way to show love for friends is to die for them. And you are friends if you obey me. See, Jesus died for our friendship. You know, I tell the kids in Awana all the time, Lisa can testify, I tell the kids all in Awana, we talk about sin, and And I tell them, you know, you pick up your room, you brush your teeth, and, you know, and one of the kids says he fakes taking a shower. It was so fun to hear the little boy talk about that. He goes, yeah, I'll go hide in my room, and I'll fake taking a shower. And my mom thinks I took a shower, and it goes to bed. You know, it's fun. I'm going to tell you, it's fun with kindergartners and first graders. It is a blast. You know, because we're talking about sin. That's, you know, we're saying you got to obey your parents, you know, and we're talking about sin. And I said, when you don't obey your parents, what happens? And they go, you get punished, right? You know, and I said, well, that's the same way with God. You know, we sin and God punishes. But you know what's the good thing is? Jesus took that punishment. Jesus died on the cross for us. He gave his life on the cross for us. He takes that. For me, it was a whipping. You know, he takes that beating. He did take a beating, and he died his blood, and he rose from the grave to pay that price for us so that we can walk in the big, beautiful world and walk close to him. So I'm going to challenge you this morning. Are you as close to God as you want to be? If you spend as much time talking to God as you do on Facebook, would it make a difference? You spend as much time talking with God as you did with your emails, social media, I don't know, hobby, whatever hobby it may be. Would it make a difference? I want to challenge you this morning. He wants to walk with you. If you, it's real simple. Make him a priority. Slow down and be quiet. Constantly talk with him. Decide you want him more than anything else. And then trust him with all the pain in life. Will you walk with him? Will you walk out of here knowing him more and loving him better? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your troubles that you have with us. It's so easy for us in this world. You created it. You formed, given us an opportunity to get to know you. And there are so many things that happen in our life. You know, I want to pray this morning. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I usually pray just once. I'm going to pray twice this morning, okay? I mentioned it already. Some of you are in trouble. I don't know what it is. That's your business. But it's God's care. But I want to lift those cares up to God for you. Maybe it's physical, maybe it's emotional, maybe it's spiritual, maybe it's relational, maybe there's a relationship that's just messing you up. But you want me to pray for you to walk closer, to know him more, and to love him more. Would you shoot your hand up and let me pray for you? Thank you. I see those. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. I see those hands. Lord, you've seen these this morning who are troubled. Lord, life has brought a burden into their presence, Lord, brought a pain, hurt, and a wound, and a trouble. I don't know what it is, Lord. Physical, spiritual, emotional, relational. I don't know the dynamics, Lord, but you know. And you promise that if we call upon your name, if we turn to you, that you will step in to those wounds, to those hurts, to that trouble. So I lift these up to you, Lord, that you may step in, that touch them where they need to be touched, that they may feel your presence and know that you're real, that you have not forgotten them, that you love them, that you care for them. So touch them from above, Lord. Affirm their faith, their trust in you. We're still praying. And I know some of us are just drifting along. It's not bad. It's not good. You're just kind of cruising along, and you're not where you really want to be. You're not where you were last year with God or a few years ago or maybe even last week. And you want to pray for you and say, God, I just want to get closer to you, closer than I've ever been before. Would you shoot your hand up and let me pray for you? Would you? Again, I see those hands. Anyone else? Anyone else? Lord, you've seen these who want to walk closer to you, Lord. They want to touch the face of God with their heart, with their lives. And so, Lord, I lift them up to you. Give them a glimpse of heaven. Give them a reassurance of faith. Strengthen them as they walk, as they go through the days and the times ahead. Encourage them, Lord. Let your presence be real. In Jesus' name. Amen.